Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Wild dogs. It all started with my neighbor's dog. Their pet corgi, Susie, was the first to start acting strange. She stopped playing and barking at passenger by like she normally did. She became standoffish to her owners, spending most of her time sitting in the corner. Then, one day, Susie was gone. A hole was dug under my neighbor's backyard fence, with tufts of red hair lodged in the fence's boards being the only sign of her. They searched the neighborhood, put up flyers, and offered rewards, but Susie was never found. My neighbor swore that Susie had to have been taken by an animal or a person. They insisted she was so happy at home and would never run away. Of course, no one believed them. At least, not until it was their dogs. Over the next year, one by one, dogs started going missing in my neighborhood. Dogs of all shapes and sizes started to disappear without a trace. Some owners said they noticed their dogs acting differently before going missing, like Susie. Others said the dogs just vanished without warning. Then, there were the marks. Dogs that would go outside unsupervised would come back with small wounds, usually on their legs or neck. Nothing serious, mind you. Just small scratches, just big enough to draw a little blood. Most people thought their dogs got into barriers, but after their dogs went missing a few days later, people began crafting theories. The community was divided on what was happening. The majority of people believed that a group of coyotes or something was taking the dogs, while a slim minority believed that the dogs were running away either for some unknown reason or as sheer cosmic coincidence. I didn't have an opinion. I was just terrified for my dog, Bailey. Bailey was my 6-year-old yellow lab. She was with me for a lot of big moments in my life. My final year of college, moving out to my parents' house, starting a relationship with my boyfriend, Ross. Through all the good and bad, Bailey was always by my side, wagging her tail. It might be sad to say, but Bailey had truly been an amazing friend to me over the years, better than most of my real friends. So, understandably, I was worried at the idea of losing her like so many others in the neighborhood had with their dogs. I took every precaution that I could to keep Bailey from disappearing, only walking her on a leash, checking on her as often as I could when she was in the backyard. I even paid a ridiculous amount of money for a special GPS tracking collar that stays on Bailey anytime she was outside. I did everything in my power to make sure I wouldn't lose Bailey, but in the back of my mind, I feared it was inevitable. And then Bailey was gone. I'd looked away for what couldn't have been 10 minutes. The sun had set an hour before, and Bailey was just in the backyard. I needed to handle something in my office for work, so I walked away from the door anticipating being right back. But the more I worked in the office, the more and more I realized I needed to do. I typed out and sent some emails, and when I returned to the back door, Bailey was just gone. I ran out and looked all over the backyard, expecting to find a hole leading under the chain-linked fence, but there was nothing. I paced the perimeter, yelling out Bailey's name desperately when I saw it. A drop of fresh blood at the top of the metal fence. How could this happen? Did Bailey scale the chain-linked fence, or did something lift her over? If something did lift her over, why didn't Bailey make any noise? The thoughts raced through my head as I tried to make sense of the situation. I remembered the tracking collar she was wearing and raced inside to grab my phone and see where she was. I remember the feeling of relief when I opened the app and saw the small paw print symbol that represented Bailey moving across the map. I could follow her, but she was moving and moving fast. I grabbed my keys and jumped into my car. I sped through the neighborhood, glancing constantly at the tracking app. I watched as the marker left the neighborhood, crossed the highway into the next neighborhood, and moved quickly to the wood line at the edge of the other neighborhood. Then Bailey's marker just stopped moving. My heart sank, and I sped to the end of a cul-de-sac where I could park closest to where the app said Bailey was. I jumped out of my car and awkwardly ran between two houses whose owners I knew nothing about. I knew I looked like a crazy woman running through random people's backyards, but I figured if someone saw me and asked what I was doing, they would understand my explanation. I ran behind the houses and looked at my phone once more to ensure I was going in the right spot. I looked around and called out for Bailey, expecting her to run out of the bushes, smothering me in kisses with a heavy wagging tail. But no response came. I looked down at the wall of foliage that seemed to seal in the forest beyond it when I noticed a blinking red light in the bushes. I turned on my phone flashlight and slowly approached what I could now see was Bailey's collar lying on the mouth of an animal trail. I knelt down and lifted her collar. The strap was chewed in two and covered in thick slobber. I began to cry as the realization set in. Bailey couldn't have chewed her own collar off. Some other animal would have had to done it. Some other animal that now had Bailey. I called Ross. I knew it would be stupid to go into the forest alone, so I called him and told him what had happened and how to get to me. He didn't complain. He loved Bailey and knew how much she meant to me. He arrived around 20 minutes later. He consoled me and let me know that everything was going to be all right. I stood back and called for Bailey as he searched the woodline for signs of anything else that could help us understand what had happened. He was the one to notice the other collars. One by one, Ross shined his flashlight on old worn dog collars. They were all chewed in two like Bailey's collar. Ross lifted an old faded pink collar and looked at the tag.
"Susie," he muttered.
I felt both heartbreak and a chilling discomfort. This is where all the dogs went over the year. "We need to go find Bailey," I said as I walked towards the opening of the animal trail.
Whoa, no,
Ross whispered, stepping in front of me and placing his hand out and blocking my path.
"We're not going in there right now."
"What are you talking about?" I snapped at him. "Bailey's in there. Something has her." Ross placed his hand on my shoulder, his grip tightening as he spoke.
I know. But something's not right here, Jess. The collars. Bailey's collar. Look.
Ross lifted Bailey's collar.
There's no blood. If something dragged her all the way from your house to these woods as fast as you described, then why the hell is there no blood on the collar?
The fence? I whispered. There was blood on the fence. A drop. She probably got it when she was climbing the fence.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Fence. He paused and hung his head.
I'm not saying something didn't bring her out here. I don't know what could have happened, and I don't want to sound like an asshole, but if something did what you're thinking, going into the woods after it at night could end really, really badly.
So, we're supposed to just leave her to get killed?
Ross looked at me with sorrow-filled eyes as I came to the realization he already had. If something took Bailey into the woods with the intention of killing her, Bailey would already be dead by now. Ross pulled me close as I began to sob, his embrace being the only thing that kept me from collapsing to the floor. As straight as it might be to say, Bailey was my closest companion besides Ross. The idea of her just being gone in an instant filled me with indescribable grief. Ross and I went back to my house. He insisted on staying the night, an offer I accepted. He comforted me on the couch as I recounted all the things I could have done to prevent this from happening. How I was an idiot for all the mistakes I made. He pet my hair and told me that I was being too hard on myself. Ross said that hindsight always makes us look like fools, but all we could do is our best in the present. His voice was always comforting to me.
What are we gonna do?
I whispered.
As soon as the sun's up, I'm going out there and try to find her, Ross replied.
I'm coming with you.
I don't know if that's a good idea, Jess. We could find her and she... It could be bad.
I gripped his hand as tears filled my eyes.
I don't care, Ross. She's out there. She's my responsibility. I'm gonna help find her.
Ross was hesitant, but eventually relinquished. I didn't sleep that night. Every time I tried, my mind would be flooded with images of Bailey, her body ripped apart, mangled and broken beyond recognition. After what felt like an eternity of torment, I began to see sunlight shine through the curtains. We were back at the woodline around 40 minutes later. This time we had to explain to the homeowner what we were doing since he saw us parked in front of his yard as he was leaving for work.
It seems like everyone's dogs are going missing here recently,
the homeowner said, trying to make small talk.
My wife's always been a cat person, so I guess we don't have to worry about it.
So is it okay if we cut through to get into the forest? Ross asked.
Yeah, of course,
the homeowner replied.
I hope y'all find your dog, but be careful out there. It gets hot this time of year, so be sure not to get lost.
Yes, sir, Ross replied before heading with me to the woodline. We stood staring at the green wall that obstructed the view into the forest. Looking into the mouth of the animal trail, it looked smaller than it did the night before.
You sure you want to be here for this, Jess? Ross asked, squeezing my hand.
Yeah, let's go,
I replied, as I stepped into the lush forest.
For the first 20 feet or so, the green wall of the forest did everything it could to keep me and Ross out. I thought using the animal trail would have made things easier, and I suppose it did, but only a bit. Truthfully, all the trail did at the start was provide a direction. The path was still covered in greenbriars and thorns. After what felt like minutes of scrapes and cuts, we broke through to the other side of the wall and the forest seemed to open up. Beyond the green wall lay a beautiful open forest covered in large oak trees that stretched up like pillars that held a dense roof of leaves, shading us from the hot sun. The cooler air felt pleasant on my skin. Despite the beauty of nature, my mind was wholly fixed on finding Bailey. I yelled out her name again and again as Ross knelt down and rummaged through his backpack. I looked back just in time to see him pull out a small machete from his pack.
You're only taking that out now? I huffed.
It's not for the plants, he muttered as his eyes scanned the forest.
I looked back and scanned the empty forest floor with him. I wanted to find Bailey alive and well, but the possibility of some other animal killing her and all the other dogs could still have been a very real possibility. I walked into the forest hoping for the best, but I needed to be prepared for the worst. We followed the winding animal trail through the forest. Neither of us were super outdoorsy people, so walking through the forest without a proper walking trail took some getting used to. After a bit of walking, our strides became more confident, and we moved faster down the trail, calling out for Bailey and scanning for any movement. After what was probably 45 minutes of walking, our noses were accosted by a horrid smell. The stench of a rotting animal is something I feel most people can recognize. Even if you've only smelt it once in your life, it's one of those smells that seems primally linked to our brains in order to instantly recognize it. The first time I smelt rot was when a raccoon died under my parents' house before I moved in. The stench filled every room and made it feel like you were unable to breathe. Bailey was the one to find the source of the smell. I found her using her puppy paws to dig at the floor in the bathroom. When Dad went under the house, the raccoon was lying right under where Bailey was digging. She was praised and given tons of treats for the useful hint. I took a step back and covered my nose before my heart sank with fear of what I was smelling. Without thinking, I began jogging down the animal trail towards the smell, my eyes watering as the images of Bailey I imagined that night flashed through my head once more.
Jess, stop!
Ross yelled out as I heard his heavy footsteps chasing behind me. The forest opened even more. A large live oak stretched huge branches out like a massive upside-down octopus, creating a wide area free of trees or shrubs. The stench was debilitating now. I pulled the collar of my shirt up over my nose to breathe as Ross came into the clearing behind me. I walked to the middle of an open area, scanning for the source of the smell. When my eyes finally locked onto it, I gagged and turned away. It was a deer. What was left of a deer. The poor thing was picked apart. The meat on its front and back legs were gone. Most of its face was picked off. The animal's stomach was ripped open, and its guts were spilled out onto the forest floor and clearly chewed on. Its whole body was covered in different-sized bite marks, both large and small. Flies and maggots swarmed the carcass. I turned back towards the oak tree in the center of the clearing. I couldn't bear to look at the mutilated deer any longer. Ross stepped closer to the animal to assess its wounds and try to make out what had happened. I pulled out my phone and opened the Maps app to see where we were in the forest. As I looked down at my phone, I heard Ross's shaky voice call out to me.
"Jess!"
he said in a voice that seemed torn on whether to yell or whisper. I looked back to see Ross staring at my right, back in the direction we entered the clearing. I turned my head and was taken aback by what I saw. Dogs. I didn't count them, but it had to be 10 to 15 of them. All different breeds and sizes. I even noticed what I believed were a few foxes and coyotes. My eyes fell low to see a small, dirty Corgi amongst the taller breeds that I instantly recognized as Susie. My eyes then shot up to a familiar white coat stepping from the bushes. It was Bailey. She looked the same as she did when I lost her the day before.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Her ears were perked and her brow furrowed as though she was looking at something she didn't understand. "Bailey?" I whispered. Bailey's tail began to wag and she slowly stepped forward, stretching her neck out as though she was approaching a stranger. I knelt down and put my two hands out towards her.
"Bailey, it's me, sweetheart," I cooed. "Come here, let's get you home."
The closer Bailey got, the more deliberate her steps became. A sense of unease fell over me as her back hunched down and she moved in an almost stalking motion.
"Jess," Ross whispered, "I think you should."
Before he had finished speaking, Bailey lunged forward, jaws snapping at my hands. The phone in my hand fell to the floor as I stammered back and screamed. I kicked my legs as Bailey bit on my feet, my arms being the only thing keeping me up. In an instant, Ross raced in front of me, kicking Bailey hard in the side, causing her to fall back onto her side.
"Get up, Jess, get up!"
he yelled as he pulled me to my feet. The other dogs were showing aggression now, barking violently, baring teeth, and forming a semicircle around us with our backs to the live oak in the middle of the clearing. Ross stood in front of me, swinging the machete wildly at any dog that got too close to us. I watched as Bailey stood to her feet before joining the pack and cornering us.
"I need you to climb the tree," Ross said.
"What?"
I replied in a daze.
"Climb the tree where they can't get you," he shouted. "I'll make sure you're safe and follow you up once you're in the tree."
I turned my back and began to try to pull myself up onto the large tree. I could hear the dogs become more aggressive as my back was turned, as well as hearing Ross become louder as he fought harder to fend the animals off. Eventually, I found a grip on the tree and pulled myself onto its large branches.
"Okay," I cried out. "I'm up! Get up here!"
For a few moments, Ross would briefly glance back at the tree, trying to determine the best way up. Each time he would look away, the pack of dogs would inch closer, forcing Ross to look back at them and swing the machete to keep their gnashing jaws at bay. Eventually, he had his path marked out.
"All right," he said. "Move over, I'm coming up."
I moved down the branch. Ross swung the machete one last time in a wide swing before quickly turning and jumping onto the tree. He pushed himself up on the trunk of the tree, but his footing slipped and he threw his arms over the branch I was sitting on, throwing the machete as he struggled to get a grip on the branch. His lower half dangled over the edge. I grabbed his shirt and pulled while his feet kicked against the trunk of the tree, trying to get traction. His legs scraped and slipped against the tree. His voice groaned as he attempted to pull himself up. I watched in horror as two large dogs from the pack ran up and bit down on his calves. Ross screamed, and I heard the sound of cloth tearing as the dogs shook their heads violently. I looked down and screamed as I saw blood seep through Ross's pant legs and run over the mouths of the persistent dogs. I pulled harder on him, but the added weight made it impossible for me to lift him. I cried out as I watched Ross's grip falter before Cena's body pulled down from the tree. He landed on his back hard, letting out a breathy wheeze as his body made contact with the ground. The pack of dogs were over him in an instant, converting his large breath to unimaginable screams of pain. They bit and tore at his body, ripping clothing and flesh alike. The larger dogs focused in on his arms and legs. I could hear his bones popping and breaking as they tore his flailing limbs. The smaller dogs like Susie and the foxes seemed to pick at his stomach and chest with a ferocity that made it look like they were trying to crawl inside his still living body. And then there was Bailey. Bailey was attacking Ross's face and neck with the help of a border collie I remembered going missing a few months ago. She tore at his face with brutal ferocity, staining her white coat a mess of red and pink. His close screams did nothing to deter her from removing strips of flesh from his face. She ripped at his face with hollow eyes that showed no compassion or recognition for the man I loved, a man whose arms Bailey had slept in countless times. I screamed and cried, begging for them to stop. I broke small branches from the tree and threw them at the animals, but it did nothing to deter them from their meal. For a moment, Bailey looked up at me with the same emotionless expression and snarled before ripping off Ross's ear. It was at that moment where my mind truly grasped what I had witnessed. Bailey was no longer the sweet, loving dog I once knew and cared for. None of these dogs were. They had all been turned into this pack of ravenous wild dogs that viewed us no different than the deer they had devoured. Ross had stopped screaming by then. Whether it was because he died of his wounds or his body had gone into shock, I couldn't think or even know. By the time they were done, I could no longer recognize him as the man I had planned my future with. Once they were finished, the dog looked up at me in the tree. Occasionally, they would bark and snarl at me, their blood and slobber-filled mouths making a disgusting sloshing sound as they licked their lips. We stayed like this for probably around 2 hours. The radiant heat of the summer air paired with the stress and lack of water caused me to feel as though I would pass out. Eventually, the dogs seemed to give up. Altogether, they ran into the forest and out of my sight. I cried as they left. I wanted them to go away, but the idea of not knowing where they were was even more terrifying in that moment. I spent the next few hours sitting in the tree looking for any sign of the dogs in the forest, focusing on every twig and leaf that moved in the wind, every fleeting shadow a possible threat. I tried making sense of the situation, but there was none. Could it be rabies? But rabies doesn't make animals join a pack. Could the dogs have just hated us all along? No. I knew Bailey. She loved us. She would never be violent. She had to be sick. Some kind of illness that caused them to act like this. Something we didn't understand. After I was confident that the coast was clear, I spent the next hour trying to build the courage to leave the tree. The ground felt unstable as my feet met the forest floor. My eyes flickered between scanning the surrounding forest and looking at Ross's mangled remains. I knelt down next to him, unable to stand. My eyes watered as I looked at the pained expression left on what remained of his face. My hand hovered over him, but I couldn't bring myself to touch him. Every step through the forest was filled with agonizing dread. With every crunching leaf under my foot, I could envision myself being ripped apart by Bailey and the other dogs, ending up just like Ross. I wanted to cry for the entire walk. I wanted to scream for my loss, but I held in the noise. I didn't know these woods. The only way I knew to get out was the way back the way we came. I didn't want to follow the trail we took to get out of the forest, knowing that it was created by the pack, but I had no other choice. It felt like the trail stretched on for an eternity, but eventually, I could see a dense green wall in the distance. A sharp breath entered my lungs as my eyes could see the end of the forest. Through the small gaps in between the green wall, I could see glimpses of houses, glimpses of safety. I began to jog, tears rolling down my face, a swelling relief filling my heart. The illusion was so sweet, but so easily broken by the sound of a low, rumbling growl. I turned to my left to see the border collie hunched down stalking at me slowly, a second smaller mutt behind him.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup. And a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
The dogs were still drenched in blood, the collie's dirty matted fur a sign of its longer experience in the forest.
I glanced around. It seemed the rest of the pack was somewhere else. I screamed at the animals in hopes that it would scare them away, but the two continued their approach with teeth bared. I screamed again, a plea for them this time, hoping someone from outside the forest would hear my cries and come help, but there was no reply. I sprinted for the green wall, seeing it as my only opportunity to escape. I knew my chances of outrunning the dogs were slim, but even I was taken by surprise at the border collie's speed. I looked away for only a second to run, and in that short time, the border collie closed the distance on me, biting down on my hand. My body spun around as the dog dug its paws into the ground and shook its head. I cried out in pain as I saw and felt the flesh of my hand tear against the dog's gnawing teeth, my blood dripping from its mouth. I grabbed the animal's top jaw and twisted and pulled my arm to try to get it to release. The dog repositioned its head so now my mangled hand was fully in its mouth, the dog's canines digging into my wrist. I looked up to see the other dog circling us slowly, preparing to lunge. I was going to die. As a final act of desperation, I agonizingly flexed my mauled hand into the beast's mouth, grabbing hold of its pulsing, vicious tongue and sinking my fingernails into it. The dog yelped in a way that sounded more like a scream as I dug my fingers deeper, my palm filling with the warm liquid. The mutt that had been circling lifted its head and stammered back, seemingly disturbed by his friend's cries. The border collie released my hand and drew back, crying and swatting at its mouth with its front paws. The hurt dog hung its head and opened its mouth, deep red blood pouring out from its maw. The animals looked at me with fear, realizing I wasn't going to be an easy meal without the rest of the pack. I screamed and stomped at them. The two dogs tucked their tails and sprinted back into the forest out of my sight. Seizing the opportunity, I turned and sprinted through the green wall. My arms and legs were cut to hell by the sharp thorns and vines, but it was nothing compared to what I had just been through. I broke through to the other side and breathed in heavily as I took in the open air. The rest of the day was a blur, crying, police sirens, gunshots, a hospital. They scoured the woods, not just to find Ross's body, but to kill every dog they could find. I remember them showing me pictures of the bodies of the dogs they had killed for me to identify. 8 dogs. They had killed the border collie and Susie, a few mutts, a coyote, even a French bulldog I didn't remember seeing in the group. 8 dogs. I know there were more. Even still, Bailey wasn't amongst the dead. I told the police such, and they insisted they would keep looking, but no other dogs were found. Everything changed that day for me. It's been a little over a month, and I'm not the same. I don't want to see people or talk to them. I look down at my scarred hand and cast, and I am reminded of the horrors of that day. I catch myself just staring off into space, thinking about Bailey. I believe that my seclusion was a symptom of PTSD I received from the event, but I know better now. I can't give an exact moment when the feeling started. It seemed to creep into my subconscious and grow out of control there, just like it did to all of them, longing. Longing for the forest, longing for Bailey, longing for all the dogs, just as they long for me. I can't hear them, but I can feel them, every one of them. They call out to me in my soul. I know that I'm sick. I don't know how, but I think I have whatever it is that the missing dogs have. I've begun to see them, the pack. In my neighborhood, in my yard, in my house. They're everywhere. The others can't see them, but I do.
They like to hide in the bushes, behind corners, just out of sight. But I see them. They just look at me and beckon for me to join them. To follow them into the peace and comfort of the forest and the loving embrace of the pack. Their voices are so beautiful. Today, I saw Bailey sitting on the other side of my fence in the backyard. She stared into my soul with her beautiful brown eyes, the fur on her head and chest stained slightly pink. My eyes watered and tears streamed down my face. She stood to her feet and gave me one last passing glance as she walked away. I'll follow her.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.